What is only?
What do you guys talk about?
Just
sex.
Right now?
Wait a second. Talk
Say
about
that
sex.
It's
Who
island.
Else is having sex except for Zach?
Not me. That's for sure.
Ian, have you been having lots of sex lately?
Having a lot of...
Nope. I've been focused on trying to become a successful human being.
So
that's
Zach
sex.
Will be
Ian's celibate. He's sworn off sex ever since he joined.
I'm saving myself for marriage.
The monkhood, though.
Whatever, you're not a virgin.
The monkery.
The monkery.
As far as you know.
Oh, yeah!
Welcome to the Feudal Podcast.
What are we doing now?
Now we're going to talk about Red Dawn and the Master Series. We just finished watching Red Dawn, John Milius' film. If you'd like to send Red Dawn-related letters, but they should be written like Civil War style, you know? Like, if you've seen that episode of South Park where Cartman writes the letters back to people, I want those letters to sound like that. Send them to futilepodcast@gmail.com. Okay, Red Dawn, boys. Part of the Master Series. Zach, you were adamant about watching Red Dawn. You, I think a couple days ago, were like, I need to watch Red Dawn. I need to like watch Red Dawn now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know.
Was it the South Park episode?
No. I was thinking of it because of Conan, actually. And then in part, it was on an AMC. And
yeah,
I didn't want to watch
it's
it.
It's on a million times on AMC.
It's pretty much a rated R movie that was rated PG-13. There's no language in it, really.
There's a little
above,
bit, but not a lot.
It would be above PG-13 area, but... most of the times they shoot people, there's, you know, the old gushes of blood and squibs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
1985. Not as much as in Ronin, by the way. In Ronin, when they shoot someone, the blood, like, kind of, like, the explosion happens, then it spills out, like, really fast. Like, I don't think that would happen.
That happens.
In
a lot of times they get good, like, car people, and maybe they end up relying on them for those, too, because, like, French Connection doesn't have good... visual, good blood effects. A lot of those spy movies seem to have kind of crappy
blood effects. Just seemed overblown in Ronin. Like in Die Hard, they shoot people and there's huge explosions.
Wait, you mean in Ronin, or do you mean
in Ronin? What happens is there's the explosion and then there's just blood spilling out. Like they put too much blood into the squid.
Okay.
I like it. It's cool. It's just different because usually maybe they decided there's a blood effects designer that worked on Ronin that was like, you know what should be different.
We should have a lot more blood.
Give
him Klingon blood or something. Mm-hmm. Keep him thinking. It's a Twilight Zone episode. Okay, so back to Red Dawn. John Milius.
What do you think of Red Dawn?
It was all right.
Why was it the best film you've ever seen?
I wasn't
it's part of the Master Series.
It's the Master Series, this is the series of films that...
have included
so
Last
far,
Action Hero.
Last Action
but
Hero.
Slater, Jack, did you really think you were going to get me, Jack?
And what was the...
You're going to pay.
You're going to pay.
Down there.
I think the thing I liked the most about it was like just how like preposterous and ridiculous it was.
Yeah.
They did go through the explanation. Powers Booth shows up at some point and he's
like
he uses like the grill of the fire to as like a really bad map to like say we're here.
I know. I was like, what?
So here's what happens in Red
Dawn. We're over here in this flame.
Here's what happens in Red Dawn. You meet a couple of people, right? Charlie Sheen, Patrick Swayze,
them before
their brothers.
No, he starts parachuting.
About a minute.
Him, and they have a conversation with each other. It goes like this. Hey, you chucklehead, get out of my car and go to class, you son of a bitch. And he's like, you're not the quarterback of me anymore. And then, he goes to class, right? He's in class. Slater's captain is teaching him. The only black man in the film. And he's like, hey, saying his thing. And then he stops and he looks out the window. Lo and behold, paratroopers are sailing in.
Communist paratroopers.
Hang on, you guys talk amongst yourself. I'm going to get the Red Dawn box and read to you what it says on the back of it.
Oh, okay. So the communist paratroopers are dropping in, and he's like, what's this? I got to go check this out. Hey, everybody, stay here.
Yeah.
This is mighty peculiar. So he walks out there, and he's like,
and he
what's
sees,
going on? And then they just shoot him, like, point blank.
Well,
they don't,
like, he's like walking out. He doesn't even care that there's like a communist guy, like, mounting a machine gun, getting ready to shoot him.
And the funny thing, I think, is that the communist guy... As he's loading machine guns, he's looking at his superior, and he's like, what should I do? Yeah. What should I shoot this guy?
And they really
like,
had.
And he gives them the go ahead. So he blasts them a few times, and the kids are like, no. And then they shoot through the windows of the school. Should I kill these kids?
And kill the slacker kid.
And this one kid was on the window like this. Yeah. And then they shoot him in the head. And he's like,
rrr. It's kind of a Rockwellian image. Yeah.
Here's what the back of the Red Dawn box says. Red Dawn opens with one of the most shocking scenes ever filmed. Semicolon. On a peaceful morning, through the windows of a high school classroom, students see paratroopers land on the varsity football field. The invasion of the United States has begun!
Exclamation, exclamation, exclamation.
Uh-huh. Actually, I could just explain the whole plot with this. As their town is overrun by foreign nationals, 8 teenagers escape to the mountains. Taking the name of their high school football team, the Wolverines, they wage unremitting guerrilla warfare in defense of their parents, their friends, and their country.
They remitted a little.
So,
yeah, did he ever avenge his
past? Avenge me!
So what happens is these 6 buddies, they escape up into the mountains.
They're palling around.
They're palling around the mountains. They decide they're going to kill some deer and drink their blood.
Yeah.
Every time it shows them, it comes back to them, they have new weapons that they didn't have before.
Because they've been taking the weapons off the people they've been killing. And you keep what you kill.
Incredible, like, you know, like suits that they've made for themselves and like... You know,
well, they implied Powers Booth implied that like that they were gonna maybe be getting some airdrops, like, and then remember,
yeah, but I don't think
that happened. So
remember when they kept going back to the cabin and talking to the guy, and he's like, they've heard of you now, and they know who you are. Mm-hmm. So like, it's clear that like the cabin people from the outside
knew too much.
He didn't know too much.
They didn't kill him because he was old, right? The commies.
Did they ever even go after that guy?
No. Well, the thing is, though, I guess they had insinuated that they had basically sexually assaulted his daughters, or they had tried to. Yeah, and so he gives them his daughters to, or granddaughters, whatever they are, to go off of them in the woods, which is Leah Thompson and, what's her name?
They'll be much safer there than in the cellar.
Yeah, they're much safer with these horny teenage boys in the mountains than in the cellar, right? Because he didn't want them to get raped, so...
Yeah.
The logical thing to do is to hand them off to these horny teenagers who have no women and might have to restart the earth. Who knows, right?
Repopulate?
Yeah, so there's a little bit of horniness
They'll plant them and restart
But that the never earth. Ends up really being much of an
and
issue.
I'd like to say, so people point to John Milius as a crazy right-wing activist gun nut guy who thought Vietnam was, you know, a joyride, that sort of thing. And what I think is funny is that, like, as un-PC as that is, he decides to put in the film this thing where Charlie Sheen hands to Leah Thompson some dishes, and he's like, do these dishes. She's like, I ain't doing your dishes no more. And she gets all upset, and he's like, well, it's what you do. You're the girl. You can't do anything else, or something like that. And she's like, she gets really pissed, and Jennifer Grey goes, you shouldn't have said what you done said there, sucker. And basically, that's the only time in the movie you get any sort of, like, like, message other than, you know, when they attack, you better have your guns. Like, that was basically it. Like, vote yes on all gun laws, please. Like, that was the point of the movie, basically, because... though, you know, they did the thing with the only way you'll get my gun is if you pry it from my cold dead fingers on the bumper sticker. And they pan down to
a dead guy
holding a gun, and they stepping on his hand and prying the gun away. So I think that was all. Like, that was his
was pretty
way
ridiculous.
Of saying, you know...
And then he did throw in a sort of... not really sympathetic, but like a more rounded bad guy in the Cuban guy, the revolutionary.
It annoyed me so late.
Yeah,
it annoyed me the first time I saw it, and every time I've seen it since then, I'm used to it, so I don't think of it that like badly anymore. It is stupid because the first few times you see him, they have lined up like Swayze and Sheen's dad and stuff like that, and they have them all gunned down. And he's like there staring at the mayor while waiting for him to react, like, I just killed all those guys, what are you going to do about it? And then he walks off, right? And then the rest of the movie, he's like, oh, this senseless violence, we need to stop, you know, like every time they do an attack, we have a reprisal, like, we kill a bunch of civilians, and then they just attack again, and we shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
Because they've replaced him with a worse bad guy, which is this mousy-looking, like, super evil Russian guy, who's...
Then they bring the hunter in.
And then they bring in...
Sergeant Slaughter. The
hunter, Sergeant Slaughter, who's even higher up, apparently, and like every time one of them seems like he's not as bad, they bring in another one who's even worse, you know, and like, I don't know, like, the boys are really flat. They're not like they don't know anything.
Charlie Sheen's in this movie, but you would hardly be able to tell.
He's in the beginning, he's in the end, basically. Yeah. C. Thomas Howell's more the middle guy.
And but even C. Thomas Howell, they try to put an arc in his character, but there's not really a lot because it's not like he's super wussy.
Like the really badass one.
Yeah, but he gets badass pretty quick.
He's all like he's clingy to his dad. When they first meet up with his dad, who has this country store, right? And he's like, "You guys go get some ammo and stuff out of my store and take off to the woods." And he hugs his dad.
Get some sleeping bags. He's
like,
some food.
"I'll see you guys later. I'll see you later, Dad." And he's like, "All right." Then he finds out they killed his dad, and he has a little crying attack. Yeah. And after that, he's just hard and tough. Yeah, and then he gets harder and harder and tougher. And then they make him unsympathetic by the fact that he kills the traitor in their group. And
that doesn't make him unsympathetic.
I think it does because afterwards, like Swayze is like the humanizing guy, and Swayze was going to do it. He's supposed to be the tough, hard ass leader. He doesn't do it because he can't bring himself to kill his friend.
He was probably
and then it cuts to another a scene of Patrick Swayze in the woods
crying like a bitch.
Yeah, because you know because
he's not tough enough.
His buddy died, and then so they go to this. Unsympathetic drop in C. Thomas Howell's character. And then the very next scene is the gunships come when they're off eating some food, and he suddenly turns into this like hero again, who shoots the gunner out of the helicopter. Yeah. Just the gunner.
What a waste!
Rocket. And then instead of hiding behind the rock so that he could cause even more damage later, he's like, "Well, this is as good a time as any in this place full of hiding places for me to stand here in the open and let them shoot me to death." Right? That's as good a time as any. And then he just kind of gives up.
Doesn't really look like he got shot, though. That's kind of what annoyed me a lot in this movie.
There was a
lot
of magical misses then.
Yeah.
It was like Roy being shot.
And the idea that these kids have, like, maybe they've, like, have been fishing and hunting with their parents, and they're kind of tough. They know the area, but that they run, like, multiple, like, effective, like, full-on guerrilla. Yeah. Before Powers Booth even shows up, and they have any kind of military...
Powers Booth was surprised.
Yeah, they do all that stuff, and then when Powers Booth, like...
He's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, then when Powers Booth plans one himself, and he's talking about flanking maneuvers and some kind of gunfire, and they're like, "What does that mean?" Like they had just been doing it innately. Like they had been running these maneuvers innately
and successfully beating back the Russians.
What's funny is that a few of the times they show them attacking like some battalion or whatever, like it looks like they killed like 100 people and they blew up like 18 cars, and there's 8 of them, and they're like scattered around. And
well, even in at that end point when it's just Charles and Patty going in to finish it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when they're together and you hear all this chaos, and then you're like, you still hear chaos when they're just together, and it's like, maybe they freed other people got other people going on, but it's just like, what's going on?
They threw some grenades that happen to blow up, like
20 minutes later and stuff, yeah.
Another interesting thing about the film is that it's largely, like, vignettes. Well, what happens, it's not like it follows this, like, close through line. It's not like that. What happens is, you get the beginning... And that follows the story until they're stuck in the woods. Then it's like months later. And then they do some stuff and they kill some people and they go see their dad and he's like, "Avenge me!" And then it cuts to like a month later and they kill some more guys and there's a problem. And then it cuts to like, you know, it just goes to these like parts where the characters are basically just getting more hard and hard and tough, and it really doesn't follow any sort of arc with them. Powers Booth is like the most human out of that group because you can tell he really misses his family and when Leah Thompson's like flirting around with him, you can tell he's like, it's almost like he feels like she's his daughter or something like that, and yet she's looks at him like she's in love with him, kind of, and she has that conversation with somebody, and
he's still kind of like, should I hit it or not?
And she asks him what his wife is like, and he doesn't really want to talk about it, but then he does, and then they end up, you know, killing him off pretty quick. And then the only other kind of like character that has any sort of human aspect to it is that Cuban, like, commander guy, you know, who at the very end is, like, he's writing a letter to his wife. "I cannot wait till I can look in your eyes and forget about the atrocities."
And there'll be no shadows in my house and stuff like that.
And then gunfire happens, right? And everyone goes out because this whole camp is in chaos because of the two dudes
that are traveling together.
Yeah. And so one by one, everyone gets killed. The guy from Pee-wee's Big Adventure gets up behind them, but the exhaust of the rocket launcher blinds him.
His eyes.
And, so,
blinds his eyes, no, blinds his nose.
So anyway, they kill the really evil, mousy general guy, and they end up killing Sergeant Slaughter later. But in between that, they come up to...
you're getting it wrong again.
Yeah, he's
after
he's
Sergeant
there,
Slaughter.
Yeah.
He's the very end, and he sees him, and he could kill Swayze.
Yeah, he swings and looks at him. And then instead of shooting or anything like that, he kind of lowers his gun and does one of these Get out of here, you crazy kids.
He dropped it, too.
You have a good old time. But then later he drops his gun and he does looks at his hands because he's got metaphorical blood on his hands.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's probably the best movie of all time.
It's very good. It's part of the Master series, which includes, as we said, Last Action Hero. Damn air. And I forget what our second Master series. FX and FX2.
Yeah, FX and FX2.
It's pretty hard to top those.
Did we do another one already for the Master series?
No, we haven't, I don't think. Other Master Series suggestions, email feudaltitlepodcast@gmail.com. Master Series is the finest of the films.
It's when we talk about the best movies ever made.
Masterpieces.
There's certain ones that we select that are...
That's a masterpiece.
Yes, that are masterpieces of bad filmmaking that we enjoy greatly.
Yeah.
For being so awful, for the most part.
So, you know...
Roadhouse is going to be...
Roadhouse is definitely... And Conan... The Barbarian.
Conan the Barbarian, I think, is almost not a Master Series film. It's actually better than that.
No, well, that's the joke, though, is that they're actually, like, I enjoy them. Like, I own Last Action Hero because they got it for a couple of bucks at Walmart or whatever. You know? That's my justification. Good stuff.
That last part, like, really bothered me. Like, the writing of the letter thing. Because, like, without that, they couldn't have, you know, had him not kill, you know, Swayze and...
Yeah, well, they had. That's why they put it in.
Yeah, I know, but it's like it's so like
the Theodore Roosevelt scene bothered me because it was about 2 minutes of completely uselessness.
What was that?
The part where
they're reading the Russians,
the three happy Russian guys are, and the guy kind of reads something and it turns out
kind of had to show that. Well, they didn't have to, but they showed that one Russian guy, and you know, he was like a kid, whatever.
It's interesting. I mean, it's an interesting visual film. Like you'll never forget what it looks like. It's really
well. It's mostly outside, like is, real lighting, and, I think, too, and natural lighting.
It's a really like it's an interesting idea for a movie. Really,
yeah, I like the idea more than I like the movie.
It's
well,
like
I think they're remaking it.
It's
I don't
this
know.
Really flat thing. With
well,
like,
how
with
would
like,
they would they do it with communists and everything?
No, they would do it with
one
terrorists.
Of you said,
probably
one of you said
Islamo fascists. Probably
one of you said during the film something that's very true.
You know,
we
could team up with Hugo
Chavez. They should have just had it be one guy. Like, you know, if it was one guy, you could have had a depth of emotion and a real character arc. But instead, they have these eight kids that...
Well, what you would have done is you would have had the one guy, and then he would have met up with the chick, and then it would have been
but
Blue Lagoon.
If you followed one protagonist...
I think they just didn't really do that much.
But
they could have done more, I think.
I think another part of it was really that it wasn't about a character arc. It was about these are a group of kids that are like hunter kids, and then they're thrown into it, and then they just get hard.
You can't have... I mean, the thing is...
Yeah, it's tough.
You can't have a movie where some character doesn't grow and learn.
He got hard,
like,
he was just, like, you know,
the
really
Thomas
hardcore,
was supposed
like, out
to
of
be
nowhere.
Character.
He was, like, out of nowhere, though. He was just, like, my dad's dead. He was, like, bandana.
No, I think a lot of it had to do with the blood thing, though.
Yeah.
It was sort of, like, they kind of just
blood,
transferred him.
Was that before he knew that his dad was dead?
I think that was before he knew that his dad was dead.
So, but it was, like, the precursor.
Yeah. Maybe I just wanted to impress you, so I said that.
Didn't impress me.